Hello, it's Ashton Lewis.
And I'm Daphne Lynn.
And you are listening to the
NDE World Podcast.
Welcome to the NDE World Podcast. I am your host, Ashton Lewis. May peace be with you all. In the studio with me today, my lovely hostess, Miss Daphne Lynn. Hello, Miss Daphne. How are you today?
I'm doing good, thank you. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic. Yes, yes, yes. I love to share. And what's, to me, the greatest thing that you can share with anybody is your time. I think time, you know, is such a valuable thing that you can share with another human being. You know, it's a reflection of your love, I would think. Instead of spending all your time for yourself doing your thing, which we all do, you've got to do your own thing, of course, but, you know, do what you can on a daily for others, whatever you can. And I think that's what I really love about this podcast and doing this show is we get to share the information with others to help, you know, help us all grow to be a better overall society, I guess.
Yes, yes. You know, and I really love it as well. I'm very thankful and blessed in so many ways for us to share this information because it is life-changing.
Yeah, yeah, it is, it is. Before we jump into today's topic, let's put a plug in for the website that is nde.world for more information on who we are and what we do and all kind of cool stuff. We've got tons of episodes and things like that on mainly on the subject of the spirituality side of life. You know, we like to say life, death, and beyond, you know, but things you don't normally hear and see and really think of in the modern world. You know, we like to go into a lot of the ancient lost teachings. We, you know, the near-death experience, people and those kind of experiences and stories. And, you know, we've got a lot to offer. So, you know, be sure to check that out. That's nde.world. Again?
NDE.world.
Alrighty. Well, today we are picking right back up with the actual Universal Divine Oneness workbook.
Yes.
And we've already went over a few chapters in the workbook itself. And actually, we're right in the middle of a series of Universal Divine Oneness and really, just really bringing that to fruition in our lives and working on, you know, focusing on the oneness and what really connects us all instead of really looking at that, what separates us or us and them or me and you. It's really just kind of working on and understanding that separate self-consciousness, you know, and the actual universal divine oneness consciousness, you know, that Udo. So that's what it's all about.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's look in today's topic is chapter 5 of the book. It's called Creating a New Universal Divine Oneness World. Now, what would it be like if everybody in the world lived as one?
Right.
I think even Lennon said that in his song, "What and the whole world could live as one." Imagine, I think it was, yeah. And the world would live as one. Yeah, so. Yeah. What if we all live together as one? Can you even fathom that? And it's really sad because we are in our normal world supposed to be living as one, you know, and the normal design, we're supposed to be living as one. Not only do we not live as one, it's even hard to even fathom that or even really comprehend it because we've gotten so separated. You know, there's so much division in the world, you know. So our goal, guys, with this whole series is really to focus on that oneness, you know?
Right. You know, and the reason we started the series is simply because, I mean, we have, through listening to our guest episodes, through the reviews, just learning about life on the other side, if you want to call it the other side, but just life in general. The learning of the oneness and the pure love that transcends all things on the other side, you know, it helps to develop your belief system and to help you to grow as a soul. And as you grow as a soul, some may not know how to change what they've been doing.
So this was practice, yeah.
Started to help others to put into practice things to help them connect with the Divine One.
Yeah, I like how you said that. Yeah. And it's true. So that's really pretty much the reason why we did this, is to be able to offer a form of guidance for all of us. You know, we're in this together. You know, we're not trying to take, say, hey, we got this and we're leading the way. No, this is just information we're learning along the way, and we're passing it as we're learning it. You know, if you can take it and feed off of it and mature and grow and expand, by all means, that you're the one that it is intended for. If it doesn't resonate just yet, just hang out for a while and listen, because there's a lot of stuff that we talk about and cover.
Definitely.
If it doesn't ring right now or resonate, it will.
Oh, it will,
because we're dealing with something that's deep down inside of all of us.
Right. And I'm glad that you said that and brought that out that way, because, you know, even though it may not resonate right now, because I can remember looking back, you know, hindsight's 2020, right? So I can remember the first time I heard about oneness, or
that you are God.
Yeah, that I am God. It's like, whoa, no, that don't resonate. That's not, I can't listen to that, you know? So everything about life is evolution, and to bring you to your oneness, to your divinity.
Highest, greatest good.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Well said. The highest, greatest good. That's what I was trying to get out. And so at that time when I first heard this, of what we're covering now, that totally resonates to me now, did not a few years ago. Yeah, you know, so that's just the evolution of my own soul, my soul growth. Mm-hmm. So I'm very thankful that I did, even though it didn't make sense, I did listen and I did read things that I was like, oh, this kind of sort of makes sense. And it just, all of a sudden, bam, I get it. Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. Now it's total resonation with me.
Yeah, it's a lot of soul searching, a lot of researching, a lot of rewiring, a lot of, you know, you have to learn a lot. You know, you will grow up with a lot of different concepts and beliefs. And as long as you are on some type of spiritual path, you know, you have some kind of recognition of higher things, you know, your spiritual self, higher your power, spiritual yeah. side. Some people find it in church, some in their religion, you know, some find it in nature, some find it in meditations, and also whatever and wherever, as long as you are working towards your higher, greater good, which we call that Christ consciousness, you know, and that's what the masters taught, like Yeshua, Jesus, you know, and the Buddha and all that, you know, they taught enlightenment, that we all have the God within us, you know, and we can, and they taught us how and what to do and how to live by examples, you know, and one of the key things these masters taught is love.
Right.
You know, we have to learn and really put into practice and understand the concept of loving others, okay? Putting their needs before us and really working on that selflessness instead of selfishness.
Yeah, which really, talking about others, ties in with today's chapter.
Yeah, yeah. Let's look into it. Creating a new universal divine oneness world. Wouldn't that be nice?
Mm-hmm.
Some of you agree with the idea expressed in the quote-unquote spoon parable. Little quick disclaimer, you're going to have to go maybe a couple of episodes back.
To hear the parable.
Yeah, the actual, it's in the actual universal divine oneness workbook, part one. I think that's like part one and two there, but it'd be in the part one, where they actually go in there and they explain the spoon parable. So that's what that means. So hopefully that throw you guys off too much, but just roll with us, okay? But if you really want to know, then understand the spoon parable, it's on that episode. Moving on along. Some of you agree with the idea expressed in the spoon parable, which was a parable expressing love and how to treat others and being in that kind of environment, and would like to live that way yourself. Yet you find yourself questioning the practicality of really thinking of others first. In normal circumstances, you'll often be taken advantage of if you do, which is why it's good to find others of like mind who will do it with you at the same time. So it may seem too idealistic or impractical to you right now to stop thinking selfishly. In a way, you may be right. It is a bad idea to change yourself into a being who gives and lives for others without discretion. Giving indiscriminately to selfish people can often do the people you're giving to more harm than good. But don't let that stop you from working on applying universal divine oneness and transcending your own selfishness. It can be done without getting taken advantage of. You simply must use discretion as to who to give to and how. See if someone responds to your giving with selfishness or if it stimulates their own pure love, then deal with it accordingly. That's why unselfish love is, quote, conditional. There are ways to deal with this discretion issue in a number of ways. That is one of the reasons for this book. You can apply universal divine oneness in your dealings with selfish strangers to an extent, and to a greater extent with others who care as much about you as you care about them, and who demonstrate it with their actions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Quite a few things in there, Miss Daphne. Any comments?
You know, you do have to use discretion in your giving and helping others, unselfishly showing that love. There are conditions set to it because you do not want to be taken advantage of. You don't want to, you just want to use discernment.
Yeah. And like it brought out in an earlier episode, that understanding that difference between the unselfish love and unconditional love. You know, the unconditional is like when they say, like, God is unconditional love, and that's without condition. There is no conditions. And, you know, well, no, you're either going to do this or you're going to do that or I'm going to torture you forever. That's condition. You know, that's something to think about. It's really understanding that difference between that unconditional love, like we had mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
That unconditional love, like we said, is without conditions. You know, and that's how I like to think of the source of as an unconditional.
The divine essence.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Divine essence. Now, we have to understand that unselfish love, you would think that's a, you know, yeah, unselfish, that's what you want to be, you know. Well, yes, but the point is, unconditional is without conditions regardless, okay? You can love like that. When you're dealing with people and like daily things and interacting with people, there is a selfish love, which, hey, it's all about me. I'm going to do what I can to get what I can. Look out for number one, you know, don't really care about what everybody else thinks. All right. And there's unselfish love, which it's not about the self. It's you're loving others and helping them out. But you've got to be careful with unselfish love because it is conditional, you see. Whereas unconditional love is unconditional. Now, when you're dealing with unselfish love, that just simply means it's not all about you, that you are unselfishly loving others, but you have to put a condition on it because some people will take advantage of a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point that it's been trying to stress. Hey, be the best that you can be, but use discernment.
Exactly.
You know, be wise as serpents, you know. Okay, let's move on to the next topic here. It says, a great experiment. The purpose of this book is not to create a new religion, but rather to renew and support spirituality in any and all frameworks. It is for those who believe universal divine oneness is perhaps the most important principle to live by and most important belief that ever existed. It is also for those who believe universal divine oneness is not just a spiritual ideal, but a practical principle. This book was created as a guide to help those who want to really work on applying UDO in their lives in various ways and to various degrees, each according to their own individual needs, desires, and free will choices. It is our hope that it will help people achieve spiritual growth via universal divine oneness at their own speed, whatever their circumstances, wherever they are in the world, with minimal outside help. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
While that may not be as optimal a situation for spiritual growth as a monastic type of situation, you know, living in a monastery, it is our hope that the Universal Divine Oneness Workbook will help any individual who wants such growth to achieve it. in order to accommodate everyone, regardless of their situation or to what extent they want to grow or develop unselfish love. The Universal Divine Oneness Workbook outlines a number of optional programs. It takes a multi-tiered and networking approach to help anyone who wants to apply the principle of Udo in their life. This includes general ways to apply it in your life with everyone and to change yourself, and ways to apply it with those of like mind who also want to apply it and do the work with you. Both methods can apply to old friends, family, or new friends. All right, let's move on to chapter 6, negative and positive thinking and universal divine oneness. A few examples of the real power of thought, positive or negative. When scientists conduct studies, they arrange them to allow for something called the placebo effect. That's because when someone believes something is real, their mind can affect their body in very real ways. Here's an example of a sort of negative placebo effect. When a patient is in surgery and unconscious, what the surgeons say can affect them. If the surgeons express doubts about their unconscious patient's ability to recover or talk about how bad their condition is, it can adversely affect their recovery. Why? Because the patient's subconscious mind hears the whole conversation and accepts it as a belief.
Oh, hold the presses. This is so reminding me of Miss Nola's experience. Do you recall what she said about how one of the nurses completely lost it, was screaming and yelling in the room and just not maintaining her level of, coolness. You know, her level of knowledge of what she's doing. You know, she's not there to play God and kind of lost it, trying to save her. So even though she was laying there on the table, Nola saw this, heard this, and has a message for the medical people. That's everywhere. Right. You know, hey, maintain and use what you know.
That's right.
Don't lose your cool.
Yeah.
Because she saw that. She experienced that. So right here.
That is a firsthand example. Perfect example. Thank you. Yeah. Because like it says here, just and like you had mentioned a firsthand, you know, account from one of our guests we personally spoke to personally, mm-hmm. Told us that when she had her out-of-body experience in the hospital, she saw the frantic, things going on. And so you can see it, you can hear it and everything. So, yeah. And she specifically said, to let everybody know, doctors and all, hey, they can hear you.
Yes, exactly. So what you say as a caregiver in the medical field, even though that person is unconscious, they hear you. So definitely maintain your level of expertise with what you've been trained to do.
Yeah. Choose your words wisely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's move on. Yeah. It says also that conversely, positive thoughts, beliefs, and visualizations can have striking healing benefits. There is a great deal of scientific evidence now about how positive visualization and stress management can contribute greatly towards healing and prevention of illness. There are Tibetan monks who sit in the snow and have wet blankets wrapped around them, which quickly freeze. They measure their abilities based on how big a circle they can melt around themselves and how many frozen blankets they can thaw. Biofeedback training also allows people to manipulate their body temperature and blood flow. This is even done as a treatment for those who have severe migraine headaches. They learn to alleviate headaches by redirecting blood flow to their hands just by thinking it so.
Reiki.
Yeah. The energy.
Energy. Yeah, that's all it is.
That's what all this is, we're talking about anyway, really, as well. You know? Mm-hmm. I saw my first striking demonstration of how powerful the mind is in college. Hypnotized students were touched on the hands with a cool object that they believed was a burning cigar. Burn blisters formed on the skin. Not everyone is such a good hypnotic subject, but everyone has the same power of mind.
That's very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that.
I can tell you all kinds of stories about that. Yeah. I studied that, practiced that for years.
If you don't mind sharing, the first thing I think of here is the power of the mind. What we're talking about here is the power of the mind. You went to a seminar in Florida where you walked on coals.
Yeah, Tony Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We walked across, I don't know what the temps were, but yeah, hot coals. They took them and poured them all out, raked them all out like in a section. I don't know how far it was, maybe about a 10-foot walk or, 10, 12-foot. It wasn't that far, but it was, maybe 4 foot wide, 4 or 5 foot wide. And but they had several of them. They had maybe a dozen of them, of those. It was like a little fire pit, coal pit, fire, orange fire,
Coals, yeah.
Coals, yes. But there wasn't fire. It was burnt down to the coals. And they had about a dozen of those little fire pits all the way down, 4 or 5 foot wide, about 10, 12 foot long, and lines of people in front of all of them. So we just had to, walk through it. And you don't just go up there and do it, but we did practice mind-altering practices all day and getting into that mental state of preparing the body to be able to, So it's mind over matter. And same thing like this, when they go into these hypnotic states and you can make the mind can actually produce blisters, on the body. This shows the power of the mind over the body, and that they are separate. Connected.
It's beautiful that you were able to do that and experience that without having blisters or burns on your feet from doing that.
Didn't affect it at all.
Which ties in with the example in this one paragraph, hypnotized students. They had cool objects placed on their hands, but told it was hot and would burn them. Mm-hmm. So they had blisters literally form, even though it was a cold object.
Yeah.
That's power of the mind.
Correct. And once you realize that secret, these are secrets. These are deep esoteric secrets and universal secrets that, everything is mind.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say too. Yeah.
And, everything starts in the mind. Look around.
Yeah. Our world is created.
Everything is mind manifested in matter. That's all it is. Just look around.
Right.
All righty. Moving on along to the next section. Fear, desires, and denial.
Mm.
And by the way, denial is not a river in Egypt.
That's right.
Unfortunately, most people don't really understand the true powers of the mind, nor its limitations. They intuitively know there is something to it, then get ideas about it from friends or books they've read or programs that they've been involved with. But as the old saying goes, a little knowledge can be dangerous. A lack of thorough information and training about the mind, combined with a lack of unselfish love, can lead to some very skewed ways of perceiving reality and misunderstood ideas about the powers of thought. It is especially not a good combination with ego or self-centeredness. It opens the doors to taking the idea of the power of thought to an extreme, and using it as a means of selfish, self-centered denial. When that happens, universal divine oneness and its offspring of compassion all go out the window. So, let's look at some of those misconceptions and the realities more closely.
Okay, yeah, this really just brings to mind, there we go, what we're talking about.
Unintended,
here.
Huh?
Exactly, yeah. How, our thoughts have power.
Right.
So we may, some of us may think that a thought is just a mere thought. It's here and gone within a split second. But as we've learned in previous episodes, that thoughts are beings, are entities, things that go out into the world around us, the universe, and stay there.
Manifest.
Right. So that we have to really control our thoughts, keep it in the positive, what we were talking about earlier, and not let it be so negative, not let it be about worry and strife and the things going on in the world, but be more positive, looking at the picture from the bright side instead of the dark side. That's right.
The glass half empty or half full.
Exactly. You know,
it's all about your perception. Yeah, you can live in the same world and have different concept of how you see it.
Right.
And different processes. Some people are naturally angry people. They are angry about everything, and everything in life triggers them off. Well, guess what? It's not triggers. It's not life. It's them. It's their filter. That's how they function for whatever reason. And that's just a lot of people. Just like there's a lot of loving people in the world, you know,
you're right.
Their main function is they're loving. Can they get angry? Yes, we all do, but it's in its place, you see.
Right.
Whereas you got some people, that's their main matrix that they're functioning through daily, you know. So
oh, yeah.
Things can get off balance, but it's really about, you know, well, you're getting off into a whole lot of psychology stuff. I don't want to get too far off, but it's really even, about the mind, like you said.
Yeah, and even into, you know, those quote-unquote angry personality people, that is maybe something in their agreement to come to here to work on, to learn and grow from.
You just don't know.
We really don't know.
Yeah. That's why you just got to work on yourself and don't worry about everybody else.
Exactly. Thank you. So well said.
I mean, really, because we don't know.
Exactly. We don't know. Yes.
All right. Very good. Well, let's go ahead and move on to this next topic here. It says fear as a lightning rod for trouble. Now, one of the first common misunderstandings is about fear, what it is, what it does, and how to deal with it. Living by universal divine oneness involves caring about others, being concerned about others, and having compassion for others. That subsequently involves facing reality, facing the real problems that you and others have. And that subsequently involves facing your own fears. Facing fear instead of living in fear or denial is the only way to do something positive and constructive about your problems or the problems of others. Denying that problems exist only allows them to continue or grow. But there is a big difference between acknowledging, facing, and dealing with problems and mentally nurturing or developing them. The fact is, fear can attract what you are afraid of. There is also something to the old saying that animals can smell fear. And it applies to humans too. But people need to clearly understand the difference between irrational fear and its related thoughts and feelings, okay, and rational concern and its related thoughts and feelings. All right, let's see if we can break this down. Now, the trouble is that many people who think that they understand fear, the power of the mind, the power of positive and negative thinking, they really don't, okay? It goes on to say, when I was young, I experienced the negative effects of fear personally in many ways. I was a very sensitive child that was always picked on and beaten up. After getting good at martial arts and losing my fear of getting beaten up, I never again had a problem and never had to use the martial arts training. A fearless, rational fighter may use emotional content rather than hate or anger to enhance their ability. But still, even without the fear, if I were so extreme with the idea that I was in denial and thought I couldn't get hurt and placed myself in dangerous situations because of my delusion, I could have gotten seriously hurt. I also have a son who once had a terrible fear of dogs, and sure enough, they were always chasing and attacking him. As soon as he lost the fear, most dogs weren't even interested any longer. Afraid of being broke? A professional card dealer who once dealt cards in Las Vegas told me that they had a saying that relates to that also. And it goes, scared money loses. Quote unquote. They've seen that people who are desperate to win or really afraid of losing almost always lose beyond the odds. It can actually be measured statistically. It goes back to showing that mind.
Mind over matter.
Yep. And that fear is a real thing, you know. Remember, we only live in fear or love, one of the two. Next section, fear as a wake-up call. Now, we've just covered how fear can actually help create problems, but certain aspects of it used in a different way can also help prevent problems. Positively using part of the source of fear as a mere guidance and alarm device can be beneficial. People need warning mechanisms in life. Listening to your intuitive warning sensors can keep you from doing stupid things that can get you into trouble. You might have a bad feeling about going into the park for a good reason, or feeling like you need to slow down your car on the upcoming curve that may be icy, or using that payphone with those men hanging around it. There are countless incidences in which someone hasn't been harmed because they listen to their warning mechanisms, whether intuition-based or fear source-based. Ignoring real potential problems under the banner of not giving in to fear or not creating anything bad is just plain unprovable wishful thinking. You can create a delusion of safety through positive thought that can get you and others hurt if you buy into it. You can say, I won't give any energy to the negative thoughts of possibly being harmed, put a blindfold on, then drive the car across town in rush hour traffic. But you'd almost certainly have an accident. That can be proven. And no one can prove that you can ignore traffic and get away with it, no matter how perfectly positive you think you are or your thoughts are. Again, you need warning sensors to alert you to possible danger or problems, and you need to be aware of potential problems and act on them to keep you and others from harm. That's that love all harm none. So, how does that work with the idea that fear can attract problems and cause harm? It doesn't, because what we have just talked about isn't fear. It is what the source of fear basically is. This is where so many people miss the boat and just don't get it. They don't really understand the difference between acknowledging a potential problem and creating it with their mind. They've just jumped on the bandwagon that any thought, which isn't everything is perfect, nothing is wrong, nothing can go wrong, is fear-based and creating a problem. But mentally acknowledging a problem or threat, thinking about how to deal with it, thinking it through, and then taking action is not fear. And it is not the problem. Fear may be involved with that process for many people and needs to be isolated. But it's the selfish self's reaction to our warning mechanism that creates fear as we know it and the associated problems. Fear-associated problems can come from a couple of different ways of negatively dealing with fear. Selfish self's reaction type number one is freaking out to various degrees, which can include aversion with its associated obsession and negative thought projection. We'll call this negative thinking. The other would be selfish self's reaction type number two. It is pretending that nothing is wrong or nothing can go wrong. We'll call this denial thinking. Denial thinking is really the result of someone being so very, very afraid that they don't even want to face the possibility of the existence of what they fear. It's like phobias. This type of thinking involves transferring their own fear to others, thinking it's other people who are afraid, not them. They say others are fearful or projecting fear. If they even mention the harsh realities of life and possible problems or threats. We'll discuss denial thinking more later because it is growing in popularity and part of a big social problem. Obviously, both types of selfish self-reactions cause their own types of problems, which we'll also discuss more later. But what about a universal divine oneness way of reading the warning signs and sensors? With the transcendence of selfishness that can come with applying unselfish love in your life, fear can change to merely being rational, concern, and a means of altering you to assess possible problems or threats, so you can act on them rationally to bring about the most positive conclusions. Developing unselfish love changes the way you think and deal with everything. Instead of self-centered reactions, you can have beyond yourself reactions in which you have more awareness of the big picture. You're more calm and have more clarity of thought. To understand this a little better, you can use a car as an analogy. You are the car in this analogy. You've got warning lights and gauges on the dashboard of your car. Having self-centered reaction type 1 might be like looking at your gauges so much that you get into an accident, or seeing the water temperature go into the boiling range and freaking out as if you were getting burned. Such a reaction might include such irrationality as saying to yourself, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God," while you continue driving until the car totally breaks down. Or you might crash because of the freaking out reaction. You could swerve, slam on brakes, not see another car because your awareness is down, etc. If you are coming from a thought process that is unselfishly based, you can positively observe the problems and take positive action. If the car is getting too hot, you could pull off and get water before there's serious damage. In fact, the more you know, the more you are prepared, the less trouble you're likely to have. But if you are coming from a thought process of self-centered reaction number 2, which is denial, and you ignore your warning lights, you are increasing your odds of a problem rather than decreasing them. If you ignore the radiator boiling over, your engine will die, regardless of what you think. Can you imagine ignoring your gas gauge because you don't want to give energy to running out of gas? Any comments?
Yes, that was a lot. Okay, so we're going to have to back up to the beginning of this.
Sure.
Because, you know, this paragraph was talking about using your intention, using those warning signs, that internal, which we all have, which so many of us deny because of quote-unquote religions.
Indoctrinations, upbringing.
Don't follow your heart. It's treacherous. It's a warning sign. It's a gauge to let you know where you are in your walk.
Yep.
And if you pay attention to it, then it can lead you in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Not lead you astray.
Yeah, yeah. And for the most part, most of that energy is directed in that solar plexus area.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
A lot of people call it the gut feeling. You know, man, I just got this gut feeling about something, you know, but it's not just the gut. Pretty much you'll feel it more, the gut feeling. That's where it's the intensity of the energy is, but it'll be an all over body, you know, feeling when you learn how to tune into things. And like you said, that's a good example. That's that in denial, you know, if you're denying what your natural instincts is trying to tell you, you can get yourself in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Or just it would have the mindset, "Oh, no, I got this. It ain't going to happen. I'm fine."
You're right.
Oh, yeah. That's that gas gauge. It looks like it's fixing to run out, but I still got another 30 miles to go. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on along. The link between compassion, caring, pain, and fear. Living by universal divine oneness means caring about others. Caring is a major source of positive change. But it hurts to care, period. Having real compassion also means being willing to feel the emotional pain that is part of really caring. To my knowledge, there's no way to have an open heart and care about others without feeling the personal emotional pain that comes when you have real compassion for the pain, suffering, and hardships of others. They are inseparably linked together. If you aren't willing to experience some heartache in order to care, then you won't be willing to live by universal divine oneness. And we've got some really good things throughout this workbook that's going to help to develop those different virtues, affirmations, work with our meditations. So looking forward to that.
So tying in a universal law, the law of compassion, since we were just talking about this, emphasizes the importance of empathy and kindness and benevolence towards oneself and others. It suggests that cultivating compassion leads to greater connection, healing, and harmony in relationships and society as a whole. This principle highlights the transformative power of compassion in alleviating suffering, fostering understanding, and promoting the well-being of all beings.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, we have to really work on this. I mean, it's something you have to really work on. It's already there. It's in you. It's a natural thing. But
right.
So much has been covered up through our conditioning, you know, through the self and things like that, that you really have to work on getting the self out of the way and really start working on that compassion for others mm-hmm. and love for others and that giving and that sharing. That's what it's all about.
And when you really care about someone else, there's going to be times where you really feel their pain, their suffering. Like it says right here, they are inseparably linked together.
Yeah.
So you can't get away from feeling the pain of others if you are having compassion and loving others.
Yeah. It's all interconnected.
Exactly.
Oneness.
Exactly. The oneness of all.
All righty. Next section, fear, pain, and denial thinking. Having awareness of yourself and the world around you and having an open mind is very similar to having an open but aching heart. Having real courage means being willing to feel the pain involved with your fears, face your fears, and deal with them positively. Some people are at least honest about being selfish and not caring about others, and honest about being afraid to face reality, but others have found ways to avoid facing themselves, their fear, or facing the pain and fear of world conditions. One of the most unfortunate ways is by pretending to be spiritual and full of love and light. They have actually convinced themselves that their delusion is real, while really still being just plain old selfish and uncaring in a nice love and light package. Let's compare universal divine oneness behavior to pseudo-spiritual behavior. Let's say you live in the country and you have a few neighbors who are also friends. Friend number one is a seemingly stern, down-to-earth farmer, but he gets the idea of universal divine oneness and tries to live by it. Friend number two is someone who always seems to be such a sweetness and light person. This person has read many spiritual books, into all kinds of spiritual things, goes to various kinds of spiritual seminars, etc., etc. Friend number three considers himself a religious person. You've all been friends and neighbors for years. One day, your house burns down. Your three friends all come over to see you. The non-spiritual, universal divine oneness-oriented friend begins to organize help to rebuild your house, get you food, clothing, and offers to let you stay at his house in the meantime. Neighbor number two sighs, shakes his head, tells you how you must have attracted it to yourself with negative thought projections. Then he drives off, leaving you and your burned house in the dust as they head off to attend a weekend of cosmic dance and sacred geometry building seminars. Friend number three expresses his concern and sympathy verbally, but does nothing to help. Which friend would you rather have? Which friend is really more spiritual? What kind of friends do you want to cultivate and deserve? Daphne?
Yeah, I mean, go back to the example. You know, the friend number one was seemingly a stern person and down to earth, but gets the idea of universal oneness and tries to live by it. Not any kind of religious thing, not any kind of indoctrinations, but that person was there to help. In an instant, even offering up their home.
Yeah.
So, and then the friend too that had always been a sweet and light person and attended seminars and everything, really just said, "Oh well,"
yeah,
and went on.
They might have learned a lot, but did they really have that divine love, the oneness, by living in harmony with that law?
Mm-hmm.
And then the religious person, you know,
Right.
Nice analogy. I think of that so often when I see people who make claims to be part of different groups and this and that. That's fine. But, you know, what kind of fruit are you bearing? That's all I got to see. You don't have to tell me nothing. I can tell, you know.
Right.
You know, it's not hard to tell.
Exactly.
It says here that as in the example that we had just mentioned, some people claim to believe that if you don't give energy to or think about your problems, that you are preventing problems or at least minimizing them. But like we said earlier, such denial thinking is often really the result of their extreme fear. But it's also from selfishness. They're afraid to lose what they desire and what they are attached to. Sure, there is no doubt that negative thinking and fear can create or worsen problems, as we gave the examples earlier. But when that is misunderstood by someone who is not making unselfish love their priority, it's often used as an excuse for selfishness and a way to avoid fear rather than facing the harsh realities of life with courage. Problems and threats should not be expected to go away by ignoring them like an ostrich hiding its head in a hole, thinking that a predator won't see it or get it if it can't see the predator. Denying that there even is a problem doesn't make it so there aren't any problems, or make it so you don't create problems. In fact, if anything, it makes things worse and lets problems grow and spread. Moving on, says, how universal divine oneness thinking creates positive change. We've already given some examples of the benefits of universal divine oneness positive thinking over fear-based negative or denial thinking. But this is such an important concept that I thought I should give more examples that can provide you with deeper and fuller understanding. I had cancer once. I got it because of accidental extreme radiation exposure. I know some denial thinkers out there are thinking to themselves that their thoughts could prevent getting cancer in such circumstances. All I can do is repeat myself and say, you misunderstand the power of thought. I would ask you to get real about it and try to come up with any legitimate proof to support your belief. There just isn't any. Again, you have to understand the true abilities and limits of the mind and thinking. I know better than most what those are. I have also known of many people who have recovered from cancer while using positive imagery. But you need to separate reality from fantasy and know the limits and true uses of positive thinking if you really want to improve your life and those of others. Back to my cancer story. I was given 6 weeks to live. This, by the way, is a bad thing for a doctor to do. A truly negative thought projection. That statement could have contributed to an early death had I accepted it in any way, even subconsciously. Had I not understood the powers of the mind or not had control over my own mind, it probably would have. I was barely alive, but before I could start my road to recovery, I had to first recognize and acknowledge the fact that I was dying and wasting away. If I hadn't, I would have just died one day by surprise. After recognizing the problem, I had to define the problem, that it was cancer and what type of cancer. Then I came up with a constructive plan for healing. I used many types of physical and spiritual therapies in combination. The first step towards finding a solution to any problem is to identify and clearly define the problem. Then you can find an answer, a solution, a healing. Thus, if a person wants to improve their life, the lives of others, and the world, they must first be aware of any problems or potential problems that exist. After that, they need to respond with constructive thoughts and actions. Next section. What comes out of the wash? Comparing brand A with brand X. Just look at the results of following both ways of thinking and dealing with life. Universal Divine Oneness, or UDO, versus denial thinking. There is quantitative proof of the benefits of living by Universal Divine Oneness and the fallacy of living by denial thinking. All it takes is looking at the facts with an open, objective mind, and the truth is crystal clear. No one can give facts proving that apathy or denial ever helped anyone or anything. On the other hand, we can point to thousands of provable instances where positively recognizing and facing the reality of a problem, then dealing with it accordingly, actually helped make things better. I already gave a few. Some denial thinkers point to pseudo-evidence of how denial thinking works. They'll point to things like leaving their doors unlocked, not having their car stolen, or house burglarized as evidence of how not giving such things negative energy work. But consider the facts objectively. Check the statistics. Most people are concerned about crooks and do lock their doors, and yet they still don't get burglarized. Your house may never be targeted for burglary, and if it's not, no crook will even try the doorknob to see if it's unlocked. You could go your whole life with no problem, or you can end up as one of the burglary statistics. Locked or not. Concern about theft or not. So that's not evidence of denial thinking, being beneficial, or working in the least. And if it really worked, why not drive through red lights and not give energy to getting a ticket or having an accident? We can give you proof of the benefits of facing reality, including not driving through red lights, of course. To start with, there are many instances of how someone's burglar alarm frightened off burglars. There is. In the same instance of a targeted house, the denial thinker without an alarm would have had an intruder. They probably would have denied being robbed, though, so as not to look foolish. Car theft statistics are similar. You may never have your car stolen, locked or not, car keys left in it or not. But in fact, statistically, you increase the odds of having your car stolen if you leave your car keys in the car, unconcerned that someone will steal it. And fewer cars, car for car that is, with alarm systems are stolen than those without. That's why some insurance companies give discounts for people who have house, business, and auto alarm systems. It's their business to know those facts. So, statistically, the evidence in these areas prove that denial thinking does not work, and giving energy to being realistically concerned about problems and potential threats actually pays off when you take constructive, positive action. And there are far more areas of example. Denial thinking is also often taken to the extreme regarding health issues. They say you won't get sick if you don't think you will or believe you will. This is sometimes really taken to the point of not seeking medical treatment for various serious problems, neither alternative nor traditional medical treatment. But all bodies age, get ill sometimes, and eventually die. There's not a shred of factual evidence of truth to the contrary. In fact, all things in nature and the entire universe go through cycles, age, and die. It's all just part of the continuation of life. It's natural. It actually has a purpose to it. If you believe otherwise, you're just in denial because you're afraid of aging and dying. I know a lot of people like that. They're actually dying and aging, and it's obvious, but they can't figure out what's going on and still want to keep running to the doctor and try to figure this out.
I don't know what's going on.
Can't figure it out. Well, it's called death.
Denial thinking.
It's denial thinking, yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Why am I feeling this way?
Yeah. Why I'm having this, why this happened, why that, you know. Well, reality, you know. There's a lot of people that aren't really tuned into reality, you know. They're, like you said, denial, you know. Well, let's go ahead and read this last paragraph here, looking at the time. And we'll just go ahead and split this section in half because we have a lot more to go. It's pretty long, so we'll just pick up with the, you know, the other part, you know, on the next episode.
But, episode 2 of chapter 5 and 6.
Yeah, but let me go ahead and read this last paragraph. It says, ironically, many of the people who practice denial thinking are also involved with alternative healing methods. Why be involved in healing therapies if acknowledging the need for it is actually giving energy to an illness or only reinforcing negative thought by even acknowledging an illness? You can't have healing without something to heal. The fact is, in order to heal something, you must first acknowledge that there is a health problem. Then you have to define and diagnose it. And only then can you work on a cure. Miss Daphne.
You know, it really makes me, with just talking about the healing, the different, you know, energies that we have, you know, that there are natural healers in our world, you know, and that is for those that have the illnesses, you have to accept that you have an illness going on and then take action to heal, seek treatment.
Yeah. And the healers can't heal unless you heal yourself.
Right.
They know how for you to you heal yourself, but it has to be according to what you believe, what your strength and your faith and your, you know.
You are exactly touching on what I'm what's coming to my mind is in the Book of Nazarenes and the Bible, Jesus performs many quote unquote miracles of healing, correct?
Yeah.
But he never really healed anyone because he said, by your faith, your faith. Belief, you are healed.
Right.
So he didn't do it. The person accepting and believing that they were healed, that they healed.
Yeah. So he channeled that and let them know, hey, yeah, here is what you got to do. If you, as long as you believe it, according to your faith, yeah, get up and walk.
Exactly.
You know, if you believe it, yeah, go do this, go do that. It's according to your, absolutely, you're absolutely right. And that's
your
what,
belief.
That's what these healers know. They know that the healing is within all of us.
Right.
And what they do when someone heals someone else, it's not so much the healer, you know, they can help with the energy and things like that. But
right.
It's really a matter of your mind, making your mind
the
up.
The mind, yeah. The belief system.
Yeah. That you'll heal yourself, you know, pretty much. Very good. Very good. Well, very interesting. And we'll pick up with the other part of this actual chapter on the next episode, since it's pretty long, you know, and we'll just keep it rolling. You know, so any final comments before we wrap things up, Miss Daphne?
Oh, no, I was just going to give an example of what some of the next subheadings were.
Sure.
So picking up with the next episode in chapter 6 is going to be, please, Lord, why don't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I don't even want to know what that's about.
Yeah, so we just went through, you know, the denial is not a river in Egypt. So let's see what this book has to say on that next topic.
Buy me a Mercedes Benz.
Yeah.
Remember that it's different song titles he's been throwing throughout it, you know?
Oh, yes, exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, very good, guys. Don't forget to go to the website, nde.world, for more information on who we are and what we do and all kind of super duper cool stuff. And we will see you guys there. Again, that website is
nde.world.
Thank you all so much for tuning in. We love you all. May peace be with you. Until next time.
Y'all let your light shine.
Hello, you beautiful souls. Don't forget to visit the website, nde.world. That is?
nde.world.